Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. It's my prayer today that you're tuned in with the idea of learning and listening and even picking up the telephone and dialing 401-1413 and participate in the dialogue and discussion today. We're going to be talking about who is a Christian. Would the real Christian please stand up? We'll look at that in just a moment, but let me first of all remind you that this Sunday at First Conservative Baptist Church, we'd love to have you as our special guest. Our Bible study hour is at 9:30, 10:45 a.m. and 7 p.m., our worship service times. We'd love to have you to come and join us. We're located exactly 1 mile south of I-295 on Old St. Augustine Road. It's 12021-12021, Old St. Augustine Road, First Conservative Baptist Church. Still the old-fashioned gospel preaching with the traditional gospel music. No, we do not have the rock and roll services, but we do honor God with godly music and the godly message, expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book of studying the Word of God. I've said for many, many, many years now, the only way a Christian will ever learn the Scripture is by consecutive, consistent study, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, looking at the Scripture in context with what does the Word of God say. So come and join us this Sunday, First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. We'd love to have you as our special guest. We met you by radio on the air. We'd love to meet you in the worship services. Have you as our special guest this Sunday would be a delight for us and for each of our people in our congregation. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world today, especially in America, where there are multitudes of people that somehow, some way, say they're saved, claim to be Christian. I read profusely some of the surveys that's done by the Barna Report and other major survey organizations that deals with those that say they're Christians, say they're saved, part of a religious organization, and I find it appalling. I find it absolutely frightening. Number of those that say that they are religious are, quote, saved, and yet the overwhelming majority never set foot in the door of a church. It is a sad commentary to see the devolution of our society today. And it comes as a result of so many thinking that somehow, some way, that I'm saved because I do good works and I'm okay. I'm just fascinated by and at the same time saddened by some of those that say they're saved and traveling preaching what they call as the gospel, but it's the prosperity gospel. For example, here's an article. Televangelist claims Jesus told him he needs a fourth private jet valued at about $54 million. The article reads in part, the prosperity gospel televangelist from Louisiana says Jesus has asked him to buy a new private jet, and wouldn't you know it, Jesus has real nice taste in planes. Jesse Duplantis, leader of the Jesse Duplantis Ministries and the owner of three other jets, private jets, is asking his followers to chip in so that his ministry can purchase a brand new Falcon 7X, which runs about $54 million. Duplantis says the plane gets him closer to the Lord, but literally and figuratively, both literally and figuratively, he says, and he had a divine conversation with Jesus when he talked about the airplane. Here's what he says in his conversation with Jesus. It was one of the greatest statements the Lord ever told me, Duplantis said. Jesse, do you want to come up here where I am? Then he further says, I want you then to believe me for a Falcon 7X jet airplane. And he goes on with his diatribe about how Jesus met with him and talked with him and told him that he needed to buy a fourth jet airplane, about $54 million. Well, I'm not going to be talking about jet city planets today, but we will be talking about what is real salvation. Because you see, that article that I just read a portion of about the planets has a lot of people confused as to what biblical Christianity is all about. The number of people today that believe that if you've got enough faith, if you've really said yes to Jesus Christ, if you're really saved, if you're really blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again, you'll be able to speak in ecstatic utterances. You'll be able to do signs, miracles, and wonders. You'll be able to name it and claim it and have the prosperity gospel that will prove that you're really right with God, because you'll have four jet airplanes, or as it would be, houses, cars, or whatever it would be, that would indicate your spirituality based on the wealth that you've accumulated. Ladies and gentlemen, multitudes believe that God awards good works by letting you go to heaven. Well, the Bible doesn't teach that. In fact, the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Furthermore, may I remind us, we must understand that when we speak of heaven, it's a place to gain, and we should recognize the reality of heaven as well as the reality of hell. For those that disbelieve in the reality of hell, then why do you say I'm saved? What is salvation about? What is hell about? Heaven about, if hell does not exist? How is it possible, listen carefully, how is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, for an entire denomination, an entire religious denomination, to claim to be Christian, to believe that they're Christian and say that they believe in Jesus, and to publicly state some of the following? Now, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm going to do is go through an elongated monologue to get to the point, because what we're going to do in a moment is look at what the cultics say about salvation or Christianity. What do the Calvinists say? What do the Catholics say? And what do Christians say? And that's a very important point for us to understand. There's a diversity of what is said in society, and majorly what is believed by multitudes today, that very frankly I believe is going to be used to send multitudes of people to hell because they believe that somehow, some way they are right, because of the denomination they're in, or because of the cult they're in, or because of some cause that they may be involved in. But ladies and gentlemen, I've said for many, many years now, when we get to heaven, there will not be, heaven is not divided in little cubicles that says Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Catholic, and Episcopalianism, et cetera, or Lutheranism. None of that will be in heaven. You don't find any denomination named in the scripture. You find either the saved or the lost. And so what we're talking about today is who is a Christian. Perhaps you're listening today and you say, I'm a Christian. How do you know you are? What have you done that caused you to believe that? Is it based on works? Is it based on 10 Hail Marys? Is it based on some denominational affiliation or some church affiliation? What causes you to believe that you're saved? Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question about biblical salvation, if you're concerned about your salvation, if you are concerned about denominational preferences and what their rites, rituals, rules, and regulations say, and you have a question about that, I'd love to have dialogue and discussion with you today. You can dial 401-1413, 904-401-1413. This is Let's Face the Issues, and you're listening to Dr. Youngblood. We're talking about the question today, who is a real Christian? Would the real Christian please stand up? Within the realm of Roman Catholicism, there's some major things that I understand that as Orthodox Christians, we've talked about for many, many years. And there are a lot of good people in Roman Catholicism today. There are a lot of folks today that, because they have that aura of religiosity and piety, because there's the holy water and the incense that's sprinkled, because there's the bowing to the images and the 10 Hail Marys, that somehow, some way, that relates to you as righteousness and your right before God. That's not what the scripture says. But I want us to just look at a litany of things that recently have come to light on a global basis in relationship to Roman Catholicism and the Pope, that is the head of the Roman Catholic Church globally. First of all, the Pope said in April of this year, the Bible is out of date and not conforming with today's society and must be rewritten. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I've got news for you, good news for you. The Bible is an old book, but it's just as modern and relevant today as it ever has been. The Bible doesn't have to be rewritten because the sodomites say that they are saved. The Bible doesn't have to be rewritten because the world is decaying and wants to take the Christian and the church with them. The Bible doesn't have to be rewritten because of the attitude of society today that says there's no God. So why did the Pope say that the Bible is not in conformity with today's society and must be rewritten? There's a major problem with that, because there's a warning in Scripture from Deuteronomy all the way through the Revelation, four times in major text, that the name, your name will be taken out of the book of life if you dilute, detract from, or add to the Word of God. It's a very dangerous thing to modify and modernize and change the Scripture. I'm against it, and I believe I have good, solid biblical grounds to make that statement. Secondly, May of 2018, the Pope said, hell does not exist. Hell does not exist. Ladies and gentlemen, if hell does not exist, then our preaching is in vain. If hell does not exist, then the church is in error in having meetings to preach the gospel. If hell does not exist, then God's Bible, God's Word, is full of fallacies and flawed and ought not to be believed. But just as much as heaven is a reality, hell is a reality. But the Pope has just declared that hell does not exist. The third thing, he has recently stated, in fact, May of 2018, God made homosexuals. He called them gays. I don't. The Bible calls them sodomites. The Pope said, de facto, that God made gays that way, and we need to accept them. Now, a homosexual and a homosexual lifestyle, sodomites, sin is sin. Listen very carefully. There's no big sin or little sin in the Bible. Sin is sin. Sin is the Greek word harmateia. It simply means missing the mark, missing the bullseye, missing the point of perfection. We've all missed the mark. We've all sinned. But sodomy is the only sin that God destroyed two cities as a result of. It's the only sin that the Scripture says in Romans chapter 1, verse 25 through verse 32, that God has given them up to a reprobate mind. He's given them over to vile affections. So therefore, it is a very vile sin. And how can you say that God made a person that way, and yet at the same time, God's Word says that it's sin, and it's the only sin that God destroyed two cities because of? The third thing, fourth thing is, the Pope has just announced, and it's not new, because you go back to the archives of Roman Catholicism, since about the 10th or 11th century, and you'll find that Roman Catholicism has said for all of these years that you must be an active member of the Roman Catholic Church to go to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, that means if you're listening to me and you're not in the Roman Catholic Church based on the decree of the Pope, you're destined to hell. Now, there's no place in the Scripture that validates that. Not a place. Not a place in the Scripture, even with a verse out of context, that validates that. It's fiat voodoo theology. And if you believe that, somehow, some way, you believe the devil's lie. So I need to remind you, we're talking about major denominations, entire denominations. They can be totally, unequivocally wrong when it comes to theological, doctrinal, biblical truth. Number five, the Pope just announced that you, if you attend the world meeting of families in August, and you can be forgiven of sins and will speed your way out of purgatory. Here's an article about that. Pope Francis is handing out easy passes, easy pass coupons for Catholic loved ones to speed their way through purgatory. The further article says, participants attending the World Meeting of Families in August can be forgiven of their sins or help a Catholic relative speed their way through purgatory. And he goes on to talk about, if you follow him on Twitter, and even if you can't be at that meeting, if you just follow him on Twitter, you can be fast-tracked out of purgatory. Here's the article. Vatican offers time off in purgatory to followers of Pope Francis's Twitters. In his latest attempt to keep up with the times of the Vatican, has married one of its oldest traditions to the world of social media by offering indulgences if to followers of Pope Francis' tweets. The church's granted indulgences reduced the time of Catholic believers. The Catholics believe they will have to spend in purgatory after they've confessed and been absolved of their sins. The remission got a bad name in Middle Ages, he said, because unscrupulous churchmen sold them for large sums of money. But now indulgences are being applied in the 21st century by following the Pope on his Twitter. I don't know of anything, if it were not so sad and detrimental, it would be funny. But ladies and gentlemen, that's what's being, if you please, promulgated in the from the very mouth of the Catholic Pope. There's a problem with that. Here's the most egregious of what the Pope has said recently. But the Pope just pronounced that white women in Europe must marry, that is, and breed with Muslim men to produce offspring to counter the declining rate of births in Europe. Yes, you heard me right. If you don't believe me, Google it. Check it out. I don't know of anything any more egregious, any more damnable than to have the Pope, the head of the Roman Catholic group, about a billion and a half people, say that white women in Europe must marry and breed with Muslim men to produce offspring to counter the declining rate of the birth rate in Europe. I'm saddened by that. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening to me today, this is Dr. Youngblood. You're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues. I'm talking about a very serious, grave subject. Who is a Christian? Would the real Christian please stand up? And the seventh thing that the Pope has said that doesn't necessarily mitigate for or against Christianity, but it's his position. The Pope promotes secularism and condemns capitalism and says America is sinning by closing our borders to anyone wanting to come into America. He's a socialist. And he believes that somehow, some way, he needs to have sway over American political agenda and demeans America for its capitalistic society and demeans America and American political jurisprudent system because we want borders protecting our nation. Yet he has a wall around the Holy See. He rejects guns and weapons and protection and the Second Amendment rights of American citizens to keep and bear arms. But yet he has 24/7 security guards as his personal security, as well as the Holy See that's guarded with its entire military force. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm saying is there's not a single scripture in the entire Bible to support any of the above denominational positions. So can we conclude that Roman Catholicism and Roman Catholics are Christians? So what does the Bible say about salvation? How can a person truly be saved? What is it that justifies a person before a holy God? I want us to think for a moment in the last few moments that we have on this broadcast today. I want us to think about the very question, who is a Christian? Would the real Christian please stand up? What do the cultics say? You know, we're talking about Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, The Way International, the Moonies, as they're called, the Unification Church, the cultics. The cultics say that you can go to heaven by being a good person, doing good works. Well, the rich young ruler thought that was the case when he came to Jesus in Luke 18, verse 18 and following. And the rich young ruler said, "Master, what must I do to be saved?" He wanted to do something. He wanted to do some good works. But the scripture says there's none good, no, not one. There's none righteous, no, not one. Ladies and gentlemen, good works will not get you to heaven. I've said for many, many, many years, a person can wear himself out. you can wear yourself down to the knees doing good works and still die and go to hell. This is the reason in Matthew, the 7th chapter, where multitudes in that day, it's talking about in the day of judgment, will say to the Lord Jesus, and it's Jesus himself that is making these statements in the 7th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. And it says, many will say to me, Jesus speaking, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I, that's Jesus speaking, profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, what Jesus Christ is saying is that good works, to think that somehow, some way, those good works will get you to heaven, is iniquity. That iniquity from the Greek text means twisted, perverted sin. Jesus says all of your good works are twisted, perverted sin. You see, ladies and gentlemen, it's not by works of righteousness that we have done, but it's by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we think about the cultics and what they believe, and multitudes, by the way, believe this, not realizing it's a cultic a theological belief, antithetical to the scripture. But the cultics believe that you can get to heaven by good works. And ladies and gentlemen, that permeates a number of religious denominations today. Not just the cultics, but many denominations today believe that it's good works. You know, if you feed the hungry, if you clothe the those that are naked, if you give housing for those that are without shelter, that if you do all of these good things, by the way, most denominations take that out of Matthew chapter 25, which is one of the eschatological prophetic texts, and it's talking about when Jesus Christ returns on the right page, the left column in my Bible, Matthew 25, verse 31, when Jesus returns, he'll return with all of his holy angels, and he will judge the Gentile nations based on how they've treated the Israelites, the Jewish people during the days of the tribulation, and the sheep and the goats will be divided. Has nothing to do with churchianity or Christianity at that juncture. But many will take that and make a social gospel out of it and spend their lives doing good works. Now, there's nothing wrong with good works. Jewish people call it mitzvahs. And under Jewish orthodoxy, there's the philosophy that you do enough good works and it outweighs the bad works, and then one day you'll go before God. That's simply not biblical, ladies and gentlemen. So what must we do to be a Christian? Will the real Christian please stand up? Not only what the cultics say, but what the Calvinists say. John Calvin, in his diatribe back in the mid-1500s, he was part of the Reformation. There's some good things that came out of that. But John Calvin, I believe, based on all of my study and the review of his historical record, I believe the man's lost, died lost. He had Christians burned at the stake because they disagreed with his theology, and his theology was absolutely wretched when it comes down to what the Scripture says. But the major thing in Calvinism is that you cannot make a decision for Jesus. Calvinism teaches that you're already predestined to go to heaven or to go to hell. So you cannot pray and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Yet the Scripture says, whosoever will may be saved. Whosoever will may come. It's a volitional choice. It's a volitional choice. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're listening today and you're a good person and you're a member of a church, I don't care what denomination, forget denominationalism, and you're there every Sunday and you pour your wallet out every Sunday and you want to please God and you're doing that based on the fact that you're working your way to heaven and that somehow, some way, you're going to be saved, that is simply untrue. It is a volitional choice. You might say yes to Jesus. And secondly, if you believe that Calvinism is right and God has already predestined you, you don't need to do anything, then you're going to spend eternity in hell. It's as simple as that. You must make a volitional decision to invite Christ to come in. God's not already done it for you. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, they made a decision. God told them don't. They did. That was a volitional choice. We're created in the image of God, and God is a trichotomous being. And as is a trichotomous being, we also, body, soul, and spirit, we have a volitional choice, a will, to say yes or no. Not only do we look at, we're looking at, ladies and gentlemen, would the real Christian please stand up? Who is a Christian? The cultics say. What do the Calvinists say? What do the Catholics say? We've already reviewed a lot of things that Roman Catholicism believes based on the Pope's pronouncements of recent. You must be a member of the Catholic Church to be saved. The Catholics say hell does not exist. And you must pray to Mary for forgiveness of sins. The Bible says that there is only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus, according to 1 Timothy 2:5. It's an impossibility for you to do the 10 Hail Marys. It's an impossibility for you to burn enough incense. It's an impossibility for you to bow at enough relics and statues. It's an impossibility to pray to Mary and ask Mary to forgive you. She's not a co-redemptress with Jesus. Mary was a creature just as we are. Mary was a human being with a sinful, fallen nature, just as you and I are in reality. So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, if you're depending on Roman Catholicism to save you, you're lost. You cannot be a member of the Catholic Church in good standing and go to heaven. You cannot be one that believes in praying to Mary and go to heaven. It must be on the basis of no denomination. It's simply, what does the Bible say? Jesus Christ is God, come in the flesh, died on the cross, shed his rich red royal blood for you and for me. And by faith, we say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, come into my heart and save me. So, ladies and gentlemen, cultics cannot depend on good works. Calvinists cannot depend on predestination. Catholics cannot depend on Mary. But what does the Christian say? According to the Bible, according to the Word of God, we must confess that we're a sinner. We must repent of our sins. That means to turn. Turn our back on the direction you're going now. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're lost, the direction you're going, you must say, Lord Jesus, I'm lost, on my way to a devil's hell. Forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and save me. Help me to live for you because you died for me. Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is very, very clear in Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and following. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. But the scripture says in verse 12, they're all gone out of their way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. But the scripture also says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. A-L-L, you're a sinner, I'm a sinner. The only difference is saved and lost sinners. And ladies and gentlemen, true Christianity is coming to the Father through Jesus Christ. The gospel must be believed. The scripture says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by idea through the word of God. Romans 10, 14 through 17. But what is the gospel? The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing that Jesus Christ is 100% God, that Jesus Christ was virgin born, that Jesus Christ was very God, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, not many ways, not some ways, not a few ways. All roads do not lead to heaven, as some say all roads lead to Rome. There's only one way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So, ladies and gentlemen, biblical Christianity is very, very clear that Jesus Christ is the only way. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and following, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Ladies and gentlemen, are you saved? I pray that you are. If you're not, if you'll simply pray, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and save me, you can be blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again. Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting again on the air as once again we face the issue.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.